This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, George Allman. Mark Mahady has a day off today. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Did you see the moon this morning?
I did not see the moon this morning. And, you know, I was thinking about this morning as I was walking down in the fog to let the chickens out and give them food.
You were thinking that you wouldn't see the moon?
Well, I was looking for the moon, which I could not see, but my Apple Watch face that I have on has the moon phases on it. So I've relied on my mother, my sister, you guys, but all I have to do is look at my watch.
And you can see it?
Yes.
Oh, I saw it. It was right over the top of the building this morning when we were standing in the parking lot. A little hazy, but it was there.
Okay, so thank you for verifying.
Yeah, so it's out.
Jennifer, you don't need to call in. And my watch verifies it, which has been on my wrist every morning we've done this. I've just never bothered to pay attention to it, which has been one of my issues my whole life.
It's not just the watch.
Well, it's hard to believe. About a week ago, I was on my way up to Stuart, Florida, just to cruise around and see what was going on.
I was
going to
start singing Margaritaville.
Oh, actually, no. We were on our way home. We were home from Stuart. We were back in West. No, we went back up to Stuart. Yeah.
Okay, but you went for a wedding, but what were some of the botanical delights that you saw while you were there?
The botanical delights?
The wedding wasn't until 4:30 last Sunday. So Melanie and I got up that morning, looked around, see what there was to do in Palm Beach. And there's three botanical gardens there. So we picked one and went down to it. It's the Mounts Botanical Garden. It's a 14-acre botanical garden. It's just north of the airport in Palm Beach. Beautiful garden, absolutely stunning garden. They have sections of it that are all divided up into different climate areas. The variety of stuff that they have growing there is amazing. And the day that we were there, it was vendor day. And on vendor day, they invite growers and other vendors from all over the area to come in and sell their stuff. So it was like a nursery swap meet. And
a nursery farmer's market.
Awesome.
It was, you know, the only thing that was disappointing is there's no way we could have taken any of it home.
Legally.
Okay. But
nice caveat.
But man, there were some bromeliad growers that had some just spectacular plants available.
How did this get in my suitcase?
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened, sir.
It was packed. I mean, there were a lot of people there.
Can I relate my story of seeing the pictures?
Sure.
Do you remember?
No. What pictures?
The pictures of your botanical garden.
Yeah.
I was up in the office learning about their trip, and Melanie was on one side of me with her phone camera, and Ken was on the other side, and they were tag teaming one after the other. Well, wait, no, look at this one. Well, wait, no, look at this one. And the pictures were beautiful, spectacular. I was envious.
If you ever get back to South Florida on the East Coast, it's definitely a must see. I would highly, highly recommend it. It's an absolutely beautiful garden. Some of the cycads they had there were unbelievable. Some of the biggest ones were the Australian ones. What are those?
The zamias? No.
Macrozamias.
Macrozamias.
Yeah, the macrozamias and the microzamias. They were huge.
What is the ginormous one we have under the shade canopy? Is that a ceratozamia?
I think it's an encephalitis, but I can't remember which one.
Enormous.
Well, there was a, I think it used to be at Rancho Soledad. They had the biggest cycad I had ever seen in my life, and it was a Lepidosamian. I can't remember which one it was, but that thing had to be almost 20 feet in diameter. It was huge. I don't know whatever happened to it. It may still be there for all I know.
Somebody probably recycled it because the fronds died on it.
Could be. But it was a beautiful garden. It was just really neat. But I couldn't believe how many vendors they had there. I mean, it was packed.
You know, when you were talking about that, it made me think about how many vendors we could have had here in the day and how many have disappeared. You know, you and your dad were working on that.
The list of what used to be.
And there's so many that are gone, so many more that are gone than are here. Nurseries that we had, independent nurseries, growers in this county.
I was going to mention it a couple of weeks ago when things started to come in. Fuchsias. We had at least two nurseries in San Diego that's all they grew was fuchsias. They didn't grow anything else.
Stubbs
and Fire Mountain.
I don't remember Fire Mountain.
Yeah, those were the two. And I remember every year at the fair when they, before they changed the format of the flower show around, they had different categories for different, like they had fern garden and shade garden and blah blah blah. But they had a they had a category for fuchsia garden, and Stubbs and Fire Mountain would put in these displays of these fuchsias that were just over the top. I mean, huge, huge plants, just covered with flowers.
I always remember Stubbs because they had that booth, the last booth on your way out of the main promenade, so you could buy basket fuchsias on your way out and take them home. That was Stubbs that always had that there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's there's a lot of stuff that's gone, unfortunately.
You know, in that same vein, while you were gone last week, we took a phone call from Oliver from Widener's.
Widener's, yes.
I asked the big important question, is it Widener's or Widener's? And it's Widener's. But they're it's today.
It started actually yesterday. I got an email from them, and yesterday they opened up their fields.
Oh, for the dig your own?
The dig your own begonia started yesterday. This is the first Saturday
That's
of it.
Correct.
Can I say that?
You may.
Okay. But we had a nice conversation about begonias, and remember I tried to get him to come on unsolicited or at the last moment. I texted him at 6:30 in the morning to see if he wanted to talk to us without unannounced, but he called last week. It was very nice.
You know, we don't get that many of the big flowering tuberous begonias like we used to. I mean, we used to get them with the flowers that were like 6 or 8 inches across. And we used to sell tuberous begonia tubers too.
And those are still there, and San Diego still sells them in their season. But Poway, it didn't catch on.
No, it didn't. Unfortunately, because they are beautiful plants. They're really really pretty when they get going, and the flowers are amazing.
Wasn't it one of the pictures? I'm going to take you back to Florida for a minute. Was that giant oak tree, right?
That was at the wedding venue. My niece got married at a barn out in the middle of nowhere, somewhere up by Indiantown, which is about 25 or 35 miles northwest of Palm Beach, kind of in the central part of the state.
Now you say in a barn. I saw the pictures.
You
want to clarify slightly?
It's a huge barn that used to be a barn that they have converted to a wedding venue. And apparently that's all the rage back in Florida right now, are barn weddings. The company that owned the venue that we were at has three other venues across the state, and it's the same thing. They have these barns that they go through and really deck them out. It was stunning. But the actual place where the ceremony took place was behind the barn under a oak tree that had to be hundreds of years old. It was massive. Just this massive oak tree, and it was completely covered in a Spanish moss. Completely covered. It was really, really pretty.
Did you at least bring us home some Spanish moss?
No, because we have it already. But it was, the Spanish moss was blooming when we were there. Although we were there in the daytime, so you really couldn't smell it. But
tiny little green flowers?
About 3/16 of an inch across. The Spanish moss is not really a moss. It's a tillandsia.
I have some in my backyard in a pecan tree.
Yeah.
And it has bloomed as well.
Yeah. It's a beautiful little emerald green flower.
Now, did you say it was fragrant?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It's nocturnally fragrant. Yeah. If you have enough of it, you can really smell it. We didn't spend that much time outside because it was hot. We were inside the barn, which was air-conditioned to like a refrigerator.
Air-conditioned like a refrigerator. It had a floor. There weren't flies. There weren't animals.
No, there were horses.
Inside the barn?
No, outside in a big paddock area.
They had their own.
So you're using the term,
barn.
You're saying he's using the term barn very loosely.
Well, it was a barn. Right. I saw the pictures. Yeah. But it's not a barn.
Not any longer.
Were you raised in a barn? You know, that kind of thing. Okay. It's not like that. Is that a fair...
See where you were going.
That's what I was trying to say. I have not seen if it's at a barn or not, but in my Elston's Hay and Grain email that I get every month, they have developed a venue out in our East County somewhere for having your... Yeah, I'll have to now look and see if it's the East Coast barn wedding venue that is catching on here or not. I know you're all waiting. You're very excited to find out. You'll have to wait till next week.
Well, I wasn't sure what to expect when I said, "Oh, it's a barn wedding." I was like, "Oh man, that's gonna, you know, a barn in Florida and
in the heat and humidity, that's gonna be neat."
But it was very, very well done.
And you don't even have a wedding tail to swat the flies away when you're standing.
No, there was surprisingly very little bugs in the area. Even as the sun started going down, it really wasn't bad. And we did have to go outside a few times because we were freezing inside the barn. They had the air conditioning cranked up so high. But it's a very pretty area. It's almost perfectly flat and just
unlike the rest of Florida.
You get up around the turn where the panhandle is, and you do start to get some hills up there. But yeah, pretty much the peninsula of Florida is flat. The biggest thing on the tallest peaks on the peninsula of Florida are the landfills. Right. So,
but that's another story. I have not thought or heard that.
Yeah, at least that's been my observation of it. But that area up around Indiantown is really pretty. And then where we brought our in-laws' boat back from, they were in stand the boat in Stewart, and it was on the Indian River. My God, the Indian River is huge. It's got to be close to a mile across.
Was that the picture I saw with somebody's legs looking out the back of a boat?
That was Indian River. Yeah,
it looked nice.
It's a beautiful area. It's a really, really pretty area. Stewart's a neat little town. So if you're ever back in Florida, those are a couple of things that you might want to check out.
Every time you say Stewart, Florida, I think of Seward, Alaska, and I don't know why.
Seward,
Alaska. Yeah. They're kind of different. But George last week was relating a botanical garden story, and I believe while you were away, he has another botanical garden story. However, we're not going to tell you about it right now, are we?
No, we're coming up to a break here pretty soon. You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 1-888-344-1170 is the number. That's 888-344-1170. We're going to be back with more Garden Talk right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross. George Allman, Mark Mahady has a day off today. Go ahead.
I was just noticing, is it casual Saturday? You look very casual. I've never noticed your footwear when we've been in here before. And I don't know why I just noticed it this time. But anyway.
My topsiders?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Kind of continuing on with the botanical garden theme, I ran across something the other day when I was looking at things online. And I had never heard of it before. But up in Riverside, they actually have a citrus museum. And it's run by the California State Parks Association. California State Parks.
I did not know that either.
I had never heard of it before.
It's going on my bucket list. Need to go.
Check out the Citrus Museum.
Can we do a field trip?
I would love to.
I think we should.
But here, this is from the website. It said, this park interprets the industry's role in the history and development of California through the stories of diverse groups of people who made it all possible. Park recaptures the complexities of the time when citrus was king, exploring the significance of the citrus industry in Southern California. In 1873, the U.S. Department of Agriculture forever changed history of Southern California when it sent two small navel oranges to Riverside resident Eliza Tibbetts. Those trees, growing in ideal soil and weather conditions, produced an especially sweet and flavorful winter fruit, harvest fruit. Word of this far superior orange quickly spread, and a great agricultural industry was born. In the early 1900s, an effort to promote citrus ranching in the state brought hundreds of would-be citrus barons, as well as thousands of migrant and immigrant agricultural workers to California for the second gold rush. This resulted in the growth of cities and communities throughout Southern California, most of which were segregated along class and racial lines. On the surface, however, the lush groves of oranges, lemons, and grapefruit contributed by California's legacy, its lingering images, the Golden State, the land of sunshine and opportunity. Now, they do have citrus grove tours, but they are not going to be starting those again until sometime in May.
Which is today.
Yes. Sometime as a matter of fact. Sometime after today. And apparently, you can bring one grocery bag per family, and you can sample fruit as you're doing the tour.
Oh, I'd like that.
I think it would be very interesting to see.
I'm disappointed in myself that I had opportunities to go up to the citrus collection at Riverside and do those tours.
We could probably arrange that.
And I did not avail myself. Yeah,
we mentioned that before. We should. We really should go up there as a group.
So last week, we got back to the Huntington. Remember, we were talking about the Huntington Gardens 2 weeks ago, and we got sidetracked. We got sidetracked by the horses, which we should mention. Today is Derby Day, right? Is it the?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we could get sidetracked again and go to Santa Anita again, but
You know, when I mentioned last week at the Huntington Gardens, their roses were in bloom, and it was spectacular. And they have about 4,000 individual plants, 1,200 different cultivars. That said, in our backyard here in San Diego, at Barona Casino, they have a rose garden with about 400. I think it's 390 roses. And Capri and I went last week on Sunday, and David Lund, who is the caretaker, but I would say more is the artist there, because it is a spectacularly displayed garden. It is, in my opinion, so much better than the Huntington.
Really? I have not been out to Barona yet.
David did a rose class for us up at the Poway store. He and I taught it together on roses, and they are gorgeous. And he happened to be there, so Capri and I walked around and talked to him. He pointed out his favorite rose, which is the Della Reese, which I think I might agree that it is gorgeous. I need to get one of those. And then my least favorite is the Honey Dijon, which we've discussed. But
not a big fan.
That said, he has done a great job there. And if you get the opportunity, I would encourage you to go out there and look at those roses.
And he's a good brand ambassador. He's a wonderful guide. And I mean, that's his garden. He takes care of it as though it were his own.
And I think the presentation there is so much better than some of the other rose gardens I've seen.
It's really, really nice. Now, if you were to go now, Ken, because George has recommended it, not the last 3 years when I've recommended it, we're going to have a situation here.
No,
you know.
Ever since you mentioned it, I've been meaning to go.
Okay, that's good enough
for
me.
I just have not gone. You know, and talking about citrus, one thing that was very interesting, as a matter of fact, it was on, I can't remember if it was, I think, I think Ken Kramer might have done a thing about it on last Thursday, or it aired on last Thursday. All the eucalyptus trees around San Diego were all started by the Santa Fe Railroad because they needed ties. And I can't remember what the count was. I think they said it's like 3,000 ties per mile of track. So that's why they planted the eucalyptus trees. But unfortunately, the wood from eucalyptus is not good for making railroad ties. It doesn't hold the spikes from what I'd seen. So they had all these eucalyptus trees planted in the central part of San Diego, and they needed to do something with them. So they went through and started selling off parcels for ranch properties and encouraging people to plant citrus orchards. So they would grow, so these people would buy these properties, put in these citrus orchards, they'd get all the fruit from the citrus orchards, and then they had to do something with it. And it just happened to be that the Santa Fe Railroad was very happy to transport their crops for them. So the history of Rancho Santa Fe, and that's why Rancho Santa Fe is called Rancho Santa Fe, is because it was started by the Santa Fe Railroad. The history of that area is actually really, really interesting. And I doubt they're doing it right now, but I'm sure as things start to open up, you can get walking tours of the village of Rancho Santa Fe, where they give you the history. And with the architecture and everything, it was a woman who basically designed the entire village of Rancho Santa Fe. I can't recall her name off the top of my head, but it's a very, very interesting story for a really pretty part of San Diego County.
That should be in About San Diego, which maybe that's what you were saying.
But Melanie and I actually went up and took the walking tour one time. They start at the Rancho Santa Fe Inn, and then they go all through the little village area, and they point out the differences in the buildings, and then there was a little slideshow at the end. Was it an actual slideshow?
No.
The film strip?
And it was not a film strip.
Tink, turn the page.
Just going back real quick to the Barona, if you get the chance to go out there, some of the roses that are on the, I guess it's the east side maybe, there's a stand of trees that are blocking it, and they're not in bloom yet. So another couple of weeks. So I plan on going out in about 2 weeks to take another look at it.
You told me it was about 70%, you would guesstimate.
My guess about that, were in bloom.
That the north end of it is in the shadow of the parking structure, so it's a little behind. That's where all the David Austin's roses
are. And we've talked about this before, if some of our customers would come in and you'd say, well, what's different? Why? Because they'll say my roses aren't blooming. You know, say, what's different? They'll say nothing. They're all planted
it's
in the same spot.
It's exactly the same, and they're just right next to each other. I know. Yeah. And it's more people are coming around to
grasping
subtle,
the concept.
Subtle differences. Right. And that's a good thing. But it is beautiful out there. And usually you get offered some cold bottled water.
Correct.
Because it can be warm out there. And I'll bet if you were out there yesterday or the day before, it was on the warm side.
I would think so. It was warm in Poway yesterday.
It was hot in Poway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard the announcement over the speakers. It's 94 degrees in Poway, but don't despair. It feels like 101. Oh, good. That makes me feel better.
I think the weather's supposed to start plateauing, though.
I think yesterday, it's supposed to be 10 to 20 degrees cooler today.
Really?
Yes. On Wednesday or Thursday, I went down to let out the chickens, and I turned on the manual sprinkler under my avocado tree just to give it a little extra water before I left for work.
That was a good idea.
Did you forget to turn it off?
I did not forget to turn it off. When I got home and heard the sprinkler on over there, I turned it off right away. So that extra half an hour of water the tree was going to have turned into an all-day affair. And then
you don't have to water it for a month.
No.
Well, I guess it depends on how much of the water ran off and how much of it.
No, it all soaks in, but my soil is quite porous, so it doesn't stay.
Well, you're
there.
On a well, so it didn't cost you much, right?
Yeah, that's right.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Let's see.
Wait, before you go, on that same vein, when I got home yesterday, my grapefruit tree, I was seeing the backs of some of the leaves, which was telling me it did not like yesterday's heat, which was telling me I probably should have watered it the day I watered the avocado. So I did turn that sprinkler on last night, and I did remember to turn it off. So just so that nobody's worried about it.
You should just get some of those little battery-powered valves.
I have them.
Are they in the garage next to the chemicals or
no,
something?
No, they're hooked up, but then they have to be retimed, and then I have to go through the sprinkler lines. Lord. I have a lot of deferred maintenance to take care of before I can do that. Now you may move along.
Let's see. One of our favorite suppliers, Sherman Nursery, brought in a bunch of really cool stuff. They grow, I don't think they grow anything normal.
Oh,
they
hang on. Lillian Rice. That's the name that's you can't name. Remember.
Okay. Yes, that's.
Thanks,
that,
Mary.
That is it.
Okay.
But
that's the name of the person who designed.
Yes, yeah, okay. who designed Rancho Santa Fe.
Thank you.
Yes. But they, Sherman, they, I don't think they grow anything normal. At least we've never gotten anything normal from them. It's always weird.
When you say normal, what do you mean by that?
Define that.
Well, they don't grow, as far as I know.
Typical or traditional.
They don't grow salvias. They don't grow Raphalipus, things like that. They grow unusual things.
There we go.
Some very unusual things. But really, really neat stuff. And both store, we got a huge shipment into Poway, and we split it between the two stores, so both stores have it. Some really strange ficus. One of my favorite ficus trees, ficus religiosa. We got some 4-inch ones in stock.
Both stores have some
really
of
nice.
All of this.
Really nice. I'm trying to remember
there's
what else they had.
Three or four different ficus, and then the gerardanthus. All these different. Your big word starts with a caud.
Caudiciform?
Yes.
Oh, those, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why don't you tell us what a caudiciform is, and I'll get you the list of the different things that we have. You know, those things that get those
they
big,
get a big
bulbous
trunk.
Base.
They, yeah, they get a, they get a
like
big trunk on
it. It looks like it's an old tree trunk that fell.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah.
Well, and we have that one that looks like a pancake. You know, the...
Yeah, the big flat thing.
Yes. Looks kind of pancakey.
So while he's looking it up, the ficus religiosa that was mm-hmm.
easy for you to say.
There's some significance in that in Hinduism.
Yes, it's supposedly the tree that
Buddha
found enlightenment underneath.
Right, sat underneath it.
And I believe it's actually sacred.
In a couple different states in India.
Yeah. And people will carry a leaf and a locket around their neck. It has a very unusual leaf to it. It's a kind of a heart-shaped leaf, but it has a very long tip that comes off of the end of it that supposedly drains the water off of it when it.
We had a nice specimen for a while in our bonsai section. It was a part of a Buddha.
Yeah,
statue.
it was growing on top of the Buddha.
Yeah. It was very pretty.
When the last time I was in Key West, we were walking around down on one of the side streets off of Duval. They're growing in the cracks of the sidewalk down there. Up against buildings. I never saw a mature one, but I saw a lot of immature ones growing out of the sidewalk. But if there's immature ones growing out of the sidewalk, there's got to be one big enough to produce seeds somewhere.
Right.
But when it gets big, it's a really pretty plant. And we've had specimen sized ones in the past, but they are few and far between. You know, I just noticed we are running up on a break here. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
The garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, George Allman. Mark Mahady has the day off. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. That's 888-344-1170. As a matter of fact, we are going to go talk to Larry in Oceanside. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Hey, guys. Great. I just want to give out a shout-out to, you know, one of the things that your store has is you could take pictures. I have a loquat tree that was looked like it was dying, and I took the pictures to a lady in there back there for information. She knew exactly what to do, and you know, she told me that the canopy was not watered enough underneath the tree, so probably saved me a ton of money. And I asked her how much it, you know, what should I buy, and she said nothing, just clean out the can, you know, the underneath the canopy of the tree and water out there, because the roots need to reach out for the feeder roots are at the end. You don't get that kind of information anywhere, and I thought she was great.
Well, thank you. That we appreciate the compliment. We certainly try.
Well, I'll just tell you the other thing too. So, I still spent $150 there yesterday. But and that pottery stuff, I couldn't walk away from. I guess you got a load of that stuff in.
Oh, the Talavera.
Yeah, that stuff is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's become extremely popular over the past year or so.
Yeah, so your store has everything. I enjoy going there.
Well, thank you very much, Larry. We appreciate that.
All right, have a good day.
Okay, you too. Take care.
I hope he remembered to turn off his hose after he got done
other
watering.
People. Yeah. You know, what's interesting is I work there, and I tend to leave spending money every day too, or you know, a couple times a week, just the same reason. There's stuff there that I've got to have.
It happens.
You know, when I got home yesterday, I looked in the back of my car and I found the plants that I had purchased the day before.
How are they doing in the heat?
They were fine, because I kind of try and park in the shade.
Yeah.
So it was
fortunate.
Okay. They were okay.
You know, talking about stuff that you need, some of the stuff that we got that I hadn't seen yet this season, we have fennel in stock in Poway, which
I'm not a fennel fan.
I can take it or leave
it. It's great for swallowtails. So if you want to bring some swallowtails into your yard, there's some utility in that.
A ton of utility in that. I digress. You are correct. I'm not a huge fennel fan culinarily.
Got it. I like eating. I like to just grab a leaf and munch on it.
Seriously?
Yeah, and the seeds. Absolutely.
We also have cumin back in stock.
I'm still stuck.
David's still staring at me.
On the fennel thing.
Well, maybe he's part caterpillar.
Good point.
But you don't like that. We'll digress. I'm not going there. Keep going.
Okay. Cumin. We've got cumin back in stock, which is a kind of a weird-looking plant. I don't think I'd ever seen it before this year.
Okay, can I go off on that for a moment?
Yeah, you don't like cumin either?
No, I wasn't. I was going to say, the last time we talked about French tarragon, they were teeny tiny. But yesterday, I saw some big French tarragon pots, and they were sticking out of the pots. Is that on your list?
Yeah, tarragon is on here.
I have nothing good or bad to say about cumin.
Tarragon is an Artemisia.
Is it?
No, yes.
It is.
I did not know that.
He learned us that a couple
days ago, or last week maybe.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Caraway. I don't ever remember us having caraway before.
Yeah, I saw that. It was made a great TV show. They went out for a two-hour tour, and then the caraways got stuck on the island.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You remember it correctly.
Thank you.
Yeah. Kind of a neat looking plant, but I don't ever remember seeing it before.
Is that the same as caraway thyme?
No.
I
think it's the caraway that you get the seeds from,
right?
That you can use to make aquavit, which is vodka flavored with caraway. It actually tastes like caraway. And then the good aquavit, what they do is they distill it, and then they put it in the barrels, and then they load it way down in the bottom of ships and send it all around the world and never unload it. And apparently the rocking motion of the ship and the barrel makes it age better.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And the look on my face is because I didn't know there was good aquavit and bad aquavit.
I didn't say there was good and bad. I'm just saying the better aquavit is the one that goes around the world.
I apologize. I put words in your mouth.
The one that goes around the world in the bottom of ships and sloshes around.
Do they chart for certain types of seas when they're doing that? Because
don't know.
If the seas are too heavy, do you bruise your aqua vitae? Most of it
is distilled in, it's a Scandinavian drink. So it's Denmark, Norway, Sweden. I would imagine it gets
rough seas sloshed around
pretty good up there. So anyway.
And that's where the word slosh came from.
It gets sloshed en route to you.
Could very well. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to go to Poway where Carol is waiting. Good morning, Carol. How are you?
Good morning. Your show is so fun.
Oh, thank you.
So thank you. Yeah, entertaining and fun and informative. But I just wanted to thank you because I went to the Poway store. And my brother and sister-in-law, they go away. They live in Scripps Ranch, and I take care of their place. And then I notice sometimes they have bugs that are, this one was infesting their mandevilla. And I took a sample, and a nice young man there was helping me. And he said,
neem oil, probably?
Yes, neem oil. There you go. And it sure helped. So I want to thank you, the staff there. It's so wonderful to be able to bring what the trouble is, pictures or, you know, the sample, and then they help you right there on the spot. I think it's wonderful.
We're happy to do that.
Thank you. Your story is wonderful. So I want to also thank you for bringing up a good memory of my dad. He is a farmer raised a farmer in northern Iowa, and that's a very Scandinavian. He's Norwegian, and I want to say skål because that was so interesting to hear that about, you know, what makes a better skål going on the ships, and maybe that's why, because of course the Vikings would go around on the ships or something. Anyway, interesting. So my dad loved gardening, and we would go back to visit them in Iowa and those wonderful farms back there. So then one more thing. My niece's son in Temecula works in a venue that is popular in Temecula. These venues and wine vineyard and wine areas where they're using barns and all for weddings. So it is catching on here too.
Which vineyard does he work at? Do you know?
Oh gosh, no! He just kind of newly started. He's 17 and just works on the, you know, weekends. So I'll have to find that out for you.
Oh, I would appreciate that. Yeah, there's some beautiful venues up in Temecula, up in the wine country up there.
Yeah. So when you said you'd gone to Florida and noticed, you know, how beautiful that was where you went, you know, that I was saying, well, I guess it's getting started here too.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, thank you. All of you are terrific. You're the best.
Thank you so much, Carol. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. Bye.
Goodbye.
That's so sweet.
That was very kind.
That was very nice of her. Yep. It was a very nice compliment. We certainly appreciate it. We certainly try. So
we try.
Yeah. Let's see. What else is going on out in the...
Well, I want to go back to water-saving devices. Mm-hmm. I heard a story in the break about how to save your roses, water your roses, and take care and outsmart squirrels all at the same time. Is that correct? Did I hear something?
You did hear that correctly. You know, a couple of weeks ago we did one of the Wednesday Wisdoms was on squirrels, which was pretty well received because a lot of people have squirrel issues in their yard. Mm-hmm. I think most people find them as pests, but a couple of people thought they were cute. But
they're cute until they start eating stuff that you don't want them to eat.
The big issues I've seen is when they tunnel underneath your plants and your irrigation is no longer actually watering your plant but running away.
Mm-hmm.
Can be problematic. But they do chew, gnaw through drip lines. Mm-hmm. And so back to the Barona garden, what David Lund had done out there, he had these little clay water basins that you would put underneath pots, underneath a couple different plants, and the drip line went to them. And I was thinking, why are these there? You know, or is this to provide additional humidity? But after we asked him, he was using that to make a basin of water so that the squirrels would stop chewing all of the drip lines because he was losing drip lines regularly. He would have to go out there and fix it and repair them on a regular basis. So this provided water, and they stopped. And so the water would overflow and water the tree, or the shrub, rather.
Mm-hmm.
So there was always water available to the trees when he'd water. But there was, more importantly, there was always water available to the squirrels, and they stopped gnawing all of his hoses.
So that if they got thirsty while they were gnawing on the roses, they'd have a place to
Have a place to drink. Yes. Yeah.
That's an interesting concept. Yeah.
And it's, he said it works. So, because he couldn't keep them out.
Good to know. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
To the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross and George Allman. Mark Mahady has the day off today. We got some good news this week.
We did.
We got some fruit trees in stock,
which is shocking.
And I was surprised because the one supplier that we got a bunch of stuff from yesterday,
yes,
I wasn't expecting to have anything for months.
Which is our primary citrus supplier, which we thought, well, for the last, month, they've had a total of zero citrus trees available. And
I think we've mentioned this before in the past when I would ask you, when do you expect some lemons or some limes? And you say, next Thursday or 2 weeks from now. But the last probably 6 weeks when I would ask you, say, I have no idea.
No idea.
No idea.
Because every time I'd call the grower, they'd say, oh, check back in a month or two. Right. That was the standard answer and has been for at least 6 months. And I was told they didn't have any more stock on the ground. And obviously they do, because we just got in a bunch of different mandarins and oranges and some lemons. Mostly standard, but we did get back in some Meyer lemons, semi-dwarfs, in both 5 and 15 gallons, which we have, the 15s have been gone and not available for a while, and the 5s, we were down to our last 3 or 4.
That is the most barren I've ever seen our citrus.
Yeah.
I've never seen it that low.
In the 30 plus years that I've been doing this, it's never been that low.
I had a customer yesterday that was looking for a blood orange. That's what he really wanted. He was there with his father or father-in-law, and they wanted to get a blood orange for his wife. And the father-in-law was going to purchase it. And I told him we didn't have any blood oranges and we hadn't gotten any in. And then we walked out to the citrus section, and he pointed to the sign and looked at me like, why are you telling me you don't have them? And there's a sign right there that says blood oranges. And I said, yes, that is a sign that says blood oranges. We didn't have any.
Yeah. Do you see any blood oranges?
Well, it was with the grapefruit, so there were some red grapefruit right next to it. But they ended up getting a navel orange, and they were very happy. And I was just very pleased that we got some things in, and they were limiting the quantities that you could purchase. So I got the maximum quantities I was allowed to get, which will probably last us a week. And I've already placed another order. There was things still on the availability, so we'll get another order next week. And then we got in a whole host of stone fruits or deciduous fruit trees from Monrovia that are ready to go. Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Apricots.
Beautiful. Tropic gold.
Tropic gold, right. Which is probably one of the most, what's the word when they produce young?
Precocious.
Precocious. Apricots, fruitful from the get-go, and they had fruit on them. Not a lot, but fruit on them.
Snow Queen nectarines also had fruit on them.
And there was a group of Santa Rosa plums, and then
there was Honeycrisp apples and Anna apples.
Excellent. And then not from, was there anything else from Monrovia?
There were. We had the Ruby seedless grapes. There was a Zestful Golden Chalice grape. And there were a couple of cane berries. There was a Marionberry. And then one or two. How do you say it?
No. Every time I hear Marionberry, the berry, I laugh.
Okay, you do. And I always think I say it wrong.
No.
I guess it's pronounced incorrectly.
It just makes me smile.
And then
I'm
they had two different raspberries that escaped me right now. I don't recall which, but there are two different raspberries as well.
Heritage, I think, was one of them.
Okay. These were all the Monrovia products.
And then we got in some persimmons from a different grower a few weeks ago. Just wanted to let them grow on a little more to make sure they were rooted well enough. So those will be out today. They are Fuyus and some jujubes as well. Now, do you say jujube or jujube?
I say jujube.
Mr. Anderson?
I don't.
Okay.
So when a customer comes in and says, do you have jujubes, you just say yes or
yes,
no?
Yes, and just point.
I mean, it's not like we're talking about beets over here.
No. Well, pretty much. It's the beet of the fruit tree family.
There'll be a lot more fruit trees coming out now. I was out there watering yesterday trying to catch up. You know, speaking of watering and trying to catch up, is this a proper venue to say if you know somebody that's looking for a job in the watering industry or the nursery industry or helping out at a local retail nursery?
Send them our way.
Would that be something we could say on the air?
Well, you just did, so. But, yeah, if you're interested in possibly obtaining employment from Walter Anderson Nursery, especially, well, I don't know if they're hiring in San Diego, but I do know we are looking for people in Poway, people with horticultural or strong gardening experience for customer service, and also just some people to
help out in the
yard with stocking and watering and maintenance. So stop in and fill out an application or email a resume to us, and you can send that to info.poway@walteranderson.com.
There you go.
I have to admit, the fruit trees that we get from Monrovia, they're 10-gallon trees, but they are some of the nicest fruit trees I think I have ever seen.
For container
grown trees, they are absolutely beautiful. They do a really good job of it. Oh, talking about apricots blooming, my rootstock apricot, which I haven't cut down because it's actually a really pretty tree. Out in the corner of my yard by the pool, actually bloomed this year. So it bloomed after it leafed out, so I couldn't really see it, but I was out doing some stuff around the pool. I'm looking around, and what are all these little white things all over the ground?
We call them flowers in the nursery business, Mr. Anderson.
Yeah,
if you swing by one of the stores, we can give you a quick tutorial.
To be specific, yeah, they're petals. But like I said, it flowered after it leafed out, so I couldn't see the flowers from the house, and it wasn't until I got up close to it that I could see. So I'll be curious to see if we get any fruit off of it. I think I got one apricot a couple of years ago. So since they don't produce that great every year, maybe this is the year that I'll get two.
All right. So
maybe this is the year where you, or going into next year, is the time that you graft.
Could be, but it's a really pretty tree. I mean, it's very kind of layered and it almost looks like the acacias that you see on the savannas in Africa, where they have that kind of weird inverted triangle look to it.
Yeah.
When I found out it was the rootstock that had taken over from the Katy apricot that I planted, I was going to cut it down. And Melanie was like, no, you can't cut it down. It looks really nice.
I wonder what kind of, what do they put those on, Citations or?
I don't, there's
Nemagard.
Many different ones.
Yeah.
But, we did get in some more Katy apricots. So if you'd like to replace a Katy apricot, I can't imagine why you would want a Katy apricot at your house. But if you want to put in a new Katy apricot.
I don't have room for it, unfortunately.
If I was going to rip out the savanna tree.
If I was going to put in another fruit tree, which I might next year if I can find one. No, not a jujube. a green gauge plum. Or the Japanese one. I can't remember which one it is.
Pave, I think, but I'm so confused about that now.
Yeah, I don't know. I used to have a red leaf plum in the lawn out front. That did really well until it died. but well, they're relatively short-lived anyway.
You could put a spicy nectar plum in its place.
That's a great idea, actually.
Give you a nice red leaf, and they survive.
And they're delicious.
As good as a greengage plum?
Well, in matters of taste, there can be no...
It's very different.
It is different.
It's a much richer flavored tree or fruit. The tree doesn't really taste that good. But some parts are edible.
But it's a handsome tree. I like it.
Handsome?
Handsome.
Well, maybe I'll find some other place to put it.
Handsome?
Anyway. Handsome. That's about it for this weekend for Garden Talk. We will be back next Saturday with another hour of Garden Talk, except for you, George. You're going to be up in Yosemite?
Yeah, we'll be in Yosemite next weekend.
So if you see George in Yosemite, be sure to stop and say hello.
And just real quickly while we're on Yosemite, could somebody remind me what cut out the Yosemite Valley? Just real quickly while we're here, what was it?
I thought it was a glacier.
It was cold.
Glacier.
Glacier.
Cut Half Dome? Was that a glacier that slid through there and took care of it?
I understand it.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to be expecting many, many pictures.
You'll get
okay?
them.
Okay, I want pictures. And, okay, that's all I have.
Okay. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back with another hour of Garden Talk next Saturday. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.